copy. Is your foundation recognized worldwide, globally, that you're collecting all this information on campus?
Oh, yes. Well, for instance, we have the archives of IUPAC, which interestingly, wonderfully, were transferred to us and given to us. They were temporarily in Oxford, England, but they said CHF is a better place.
Well, the reason I ask some of these things, I have a compound that was made years ago, more than 100 years ago. They were made by us in Jorgens.
You have some of his?
Yeah, and I also have some of Alfred Williams. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's rather interesting. A fellow, let's see if I can open it. Here's what happens if you get old. This is a solo medley. Mm-hmm. And lecture.
This is annual.
Yeah.
Now.
And I'll picture drawing after I die.
Where's the phone?
What was I about to tell you?
That's very fine.
What was I talking about just before?
About the Werner.
Yes, that's interesting. You probably know about it. Alcott? No, not Alcott. The one of his people, one of his students, was also, as myself, was making Switzerland's where Alfred Werner was, and so forth. Anyway, they had a collection of Werner's compounds, and what you call it, Steve Lippard, very outstanding chemist, decided he does a lot of things. And one thing he does is have people use X-rays to determine structures. And he took a great big example, just like David said. But Lippard decided to do these structures of this crystal compound. And not only did he do it, but he published it in Chemistry with Alfred Werner's name on it. That's kind of interesting.
Fantastic. Are those samples here?
Right? Yeah, they're in.
What's your plans for the...
Well, I was going to ask you later on when you get to a point where I'm going to give some of the things to our archives when I was going to ask you whether you want them.
Oh, we'd love to have those. We'd love to have those.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, yeah, just to finish, the X-ray structure showed that Werner and his people had, without X-rays, without anything, just guessed, really, at the structure of this compound that was prepared. And it wasn't right on. It wasn't perfect, but it was close to being. Just showed how competent those people were.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, Werner, I guess, was an alcoholic. Also, they showed me where to stop at this. Although it's an open secret, I guess, he died of syphilis, I guess. Mm-hmm. All these kinds of love stories about Werner.
Now, with the inorganic GRC conferences, were they always held up in New Hampshire, or have they moved around?
They moved around, yeah.
Have there been ones in California where?
Yes, there have been.
Oh, right, and there's one in Ventura. Did you notice a difference to them based on the location? Did it matter where it was held?
Well, I didn't notice it particularly. I think the reason we don't know is there are funds. Really, the reason it was done, started with, was that the people on the East Coast were beginning to bitch a little bit because they were held over on the West Coast, and the people on the East Coast felt that it was expensive to travel, for the country, occasionally also, and that's how it got started.
Mm-hmm.
And now, usually, it's in Newport, but it's a beautiful place, nice place to have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
People haven't complained, so I think it's going to be there for a
while. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, into the 60s and 70s, you kind of got into the GRC governance. Did it start with the S&S committee, scheduling and selections?
My getting into it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened. I guess I got nominated, and this is the way to the council.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the council, I certainly did something reviewing proposals and so forth, and then got a board of trustees, eventually became chairman of the board.
Right.
That's generally what happens.
Was bioinorganics starting around that time, or is that a little later?
Oh, no, yeah, that's right, it is a little later.
Oh, okay.
Bioinorganic chemistry. Well, now it's one of the very important areas,
yeah,
of course,
yeah,
of inorganic chemistry. But it certainly wasn't involved at that time at all. I mean, early on.
What were some of the newer inorganic subfields that were going around?
There weren't all that many. As a matter of fact, that's why I say it. However, there was the beginning of organometallic chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And these metals, which form coordination compounds, get involved and interact with organic molecules. And you can build nice structures of such compounds. And some of them are more interesting than others. However, there was never any real intent at that time to build to make things that are of commercial interest the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our chemists now are rapidly becoming millionaires because they can do things which are applied, and they occasionally come across something which they patent.
Mm-hmm.
And some chemists have done extremely well. Look, I'm going to have to go to that lunch. Let's see what time is.
It's just 11:30.
Okay.
We've got another 15 minutes.
They'll be picking me up around noon, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
You joined the council in 1970, can you talk about issues and concerns in your time in the governance? Did everything run along smoothly, no problem? Was it a piece of paradise?
Was I don't really recall things all that well these days, but to the extent that I do, I don't recall that there was really any problem. And serving on the board sit around and discuss what's going on, what should happen and what shouldn't happen, and so forth. But I don't recall if there was any, some of us our opinion, which is different than someone else, but always resolve it without any, not any difficulty.
How about relations with AAAS in those years?
Yeah, they're, even now, community hasn't been all that much of a relation with AAAS. For example, several years ago, they let us, AAAS chemistry part.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that anybody really even belongs to it very much, but the only job that I had to do, the person that wasn't like the boss, was to make sure that you had a program, a chemistry program. And that's what I did. I got together three or four people and arranged a fun day. A session,
mm-hmm.
and almost nobody came, even though the topics were of interest. Almost no one came because there were almost no chemists there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there was all that much interaction.
Some mentioned here of Snowbird and being at Snowbird. Was that just for a board meeting? Or?
Oh yeah, that was the. It's probably called Snowbird. It's outside of Salt Lake City in Utah, and it's a ski. It's a mountain in which people ski in winter. And I guess I'm not a skier, but apparently it's well thought of. People who do ski. And in the summer, it is used to have groups there who wish to use the facilities, you know, houses where you ski and so forth, and walk around. It's nice to look at and so forth. And Bob Perry, who lives there, suggested. He was on the board, and at the same time I was, and he suggested that why don't we have a next meeting at our place, which would be very nice, and we all agreed with him that we should do it, and we went out there and had a very fine meeting. I just don't know what the board is doing these days in terms of having meetings.
The inorganic conference moved to Brewster in 82. Was there any particular reason for that?
Yes, there always is. The conference, the inorganic conference that when it started was New Hampshire, but that was the name of the place.
New London?
Yes, I think it was perhaps New London.
Right. Colby Sawyer College.
It was the New Hampton one, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? I'm sorry.
New
okay.
It was in New Hampton.
New Hampton, yeah.
And it was interesting. In this little town, there was one store, groceries, which was over by the morning paper and whatever. There was one barber shop. The barber would come in once a week and so forth, and that was about all. So you had to participate, really, in the conference. However, at some point or other, when they began to have additional conferences, other people had better facilities, extent we did, the inorganic chemists began to look around and suggested that Brewster is a very nice place, which it was, with the lake there. So we managed to move to Brewster. I don't recall exactly how that was done. The conference that was there probably dropped out or went to another location or something. And it was a good location, and we were staying there. And then, all of a sudden, there's a Japanese group, I guess, who came, as far as I understand it, and offered Brewster more money.
Mm-hmm.
And we had elsewhere. Well, we ended up at Newport, which is a hell of a lot better than Brewster. Newport is fantastic, so I'm sure we're going to stay there. Or they're going to stay there until they get kicked out.
Something, here's a letter in this file, Fred, that puzzled me, because it refers to the proceedings of the conference. And what would that mean?
Didn't last very long. I think that it lasted only a few years, to my knowledge. It sounded like a good idea at the time. Few people who do good research and good teaching. There are two awards for campus and teaching, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
One is for teaching, excellence in teaching, and the other is for excellence, I guess, in chemical education. I got both those because I was sort of an anomaly of being interested in teaching, and I was also a cook for research. And so it worked out that I ended up getting both of the awards at the ACS for teaching. I think that there just wasn't enough interest in this thing.
Mm-hmm. There's also there's an interesting letter here that you wrote advocating, saying that...
I'm going to give you that file.
That would be wonderful, saying that everyone is a bit tired of hearing Marx, Strock, Burkhart, Holm, Wright and Gray, Cotton, etc. Stirring up trouble. Did you often do that?
No, not really, but I think that's true, and it was true at that time, and it's still true to some extent, but not only at the Gordon Conference. Yeah. Good people. I mean, the younger people down below, well, the people up above, I've heard of a few talking also. Yes. Yes, in fact, just when I was present in the ECS, writing occasionally editorials in our journal, American Chemical Society, I had gone to a Gordon conference and heard this person talk about this research of his, very good. And since I guess I might have been chairman, I must have been, I guess, chairman of the board of trustees at that time. And come in! Hey,
we're still talking. You're working hard, guys.
Yeah, we're doing all right.
Okay. If you can remember how to get back to the department office, which. Actually, when Sunbin comes to get Fred, he can show you how to get to the department. So when you leave the department on this, the people will tell you what you want to do. But you want to get on this long haul, go all the way east as far as you can go. There's a small exit. Walk out the exit, and this cab should be in front of the building. Now, one other thing. In case it's not there, let me give you the phone number, because you've got something to be here.
Yep.
It's 847.
Mm-hmm.
251.
Mm-hmm.
0303.
Okay.
And okay. So Sunday when he comes to get you, he's got some clothes.
Yeah. He probably usually comes and just
meets you outside.
Through the door here.
From here, what's our directions?
We'll move back.
No, you can come right back here, of course. Mm-hmm. And then go.
Your office is over there, isn't it?
I don't want to know where my office is. That's much.
I mean the department.
The department office. Yeah, we have to go outside and then back in.
You have to go up one floor.
Yep. No, it's fine.
Dude.
Sure.
We speak the
very next week. Thank you for all this presence. Thank you for all this presence.
And I'm delighted we're working together. It's really neat.
When I come to Philadelphia, I will call you.
Please do.
Do you know any terrific single guys in their early 30s? Let me know.
Fred knows my daughter. She's pretty, she's nice, she's smart, and she's funny.
That's what happens.
Fatherhood will get you.
That's what happens.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Yeah, this guy, I guess, will be coming to get me at 12 o'clock. We got 15 minutes.
I think
and I'm going to give you that file, of course, because I have no use for it. And of course, you guys are going to the Gordon Conference, or will do so.
Yes.
I think they've kept all these records and so forth.
Yes, yes. No, we've got a lot of stuff from.
I guess the question I would still ask is, looking to the future, what do you think is really important to the vitality of scientific research, and especially in inorganic chemistry?
Well, it's hard to predict the future, you know. It'd be great if we could predict the future. I think that it's becoming more and more clear to the general layperson, even, that chemistry is contributing in many ways. And to the extent that it is, we keep hearing about, for example, the new medication, which takes care of this and takes care of that. I think that the lay people were, come in! Come on in.
A real quick question.
Sure.
Are you going to do lunch today?
Yeah, and son Ben's going to take
Okay, you've done an arrangement.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right, I was just checking.
No, no, that's fine.
Sorry.
So, so I think that there's a real future for chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
However, chemistry has a problem, and it hasn't totally broken out of its problem. And that is chemistry occurs in a variety of different kinds of compounds and so forth. And it is oftentimes referred to as a central science,
mm-hmm.
because it gets involved in a lot of these things. And to the extent that it gets involved and makes a major contribution, people don't really hear about chemistry because it's not used. I remember the first time I heard person called it talking about genetic engineering. He was doing chemistry on DNA and so forth. And he called everything genetic engineering. At the end of his talk, I said, "Hey, Tom, what the hell is this engineering stuff? It's genetic chemistry. Everything you told us about had to do with chemistry. It didn't have to do with engineering." But the word engineering has caught on. So chemistry takes a little bit of a beating because of this. On the other hand, I think it's beginning. That phase is beginning to improve. Where it's going to go in terms of anticipating the levels, I just don't know. But it is really making it smart, even more so.
But the future of the GRC?
Well, I don't know. The future of the GRC is just it's so large now, I would be worried about it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I would worry about the fact that it is, they've got conferences all over. And not all of these countries, chemists in all these countries, are happy that the Gordon Conference has done this.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a couple of comments anyway, a couple of countries say, what the hell, we can have our own damn conference. What do you guys want to have? and so forth. So I think there is some resentment. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I don't know. I'm no longer involved. As I say, I was trying to keep the number at some reasonable number. Like mm-hmm. time I tried and failed. I was trying to keep it at 100. It was roughly 100 by that time. And instead, I think, you know, some people think bigger is better. And now, the Gordon Conference has gotten so big. And I think financially it's in real good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason that they have money to bring speakers in from abroad, or at least to supplement their travel expenses, and likewise pay expenses for graduate students, or at least partial, and speakers as well, and even the consultants, which I am going to have lunch with. So they're not hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, a lot of people think that bigger is better, so it may continue to grow. I have no idea. But you know, also, I guess I also wrote an editorial when I was president of UCS, and the explosion in publication, and in likewise in conferences and lectures that were given. And I made the point that I heard this lecture, I didn't, where the following week I heard the same lecture, and then the lecturer had to go to Germany where he gave the same lecture. And I wanted to make the point, these damn lectures, you know, are given by the same person, different places. I even pointed out that not only could I anticipate what he was going to say, I could even anticipate the jokes that he was going to tell you, you know, because he had told me. So anyway, the chemistry keeps growing, and molecular biology now, I think, seems to be very good. And nanochemistry, nanoengineering, that's the building we have, actually. And that's the big thing, chemistry at the moment. So that it's hard to anticipate what's going to happen.
All right. Well, I don't know if any...
I think we've very excellently covered a lot of good territory.
Yeah. Right.
So that's so great.
I hope so.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
As I say, I really only was involved in the Gordon Conference years ago when I was involved with the Board of Trustees. Oh, I still get involved occasionally by giving advice and giving my opinion on things, but no longer the way I used to be.
All right, well, why don't...